Well, as they're fond of saying in Game of Thrones, winter is coming. In fact, I think we're getting a little preview today. Holy cow. Hello, howdy, greetings, welcome, salutations, and nasty Monday weather day alohas to you as we get underway today. It is our special Veterans Day show today. I know yesterday officially was Armistice Day, of course, the November 11th, the day the official papers were signed ending World War I. But today is a Veterans Day holiday, so we're talking a great deal about that as we go along today. Great to have you along, and as always, your input is invited, encouraged, and welcomed. Here is how you join me and take part in the conversation today. Just grab your phone, use the Ingalls Advantage talk line, 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number, 71307. And my email address is very simply bob@1063word.com. And in listening to myself in my earbuds here, I can tell I need to apologize for my voice quality today as well. It's a little shaky today. It's a little on the thin side. I guess it's the effects of the meteorology surrounding us that has a tendency to affect my vocal cords. Very special guest to join me here at the beginning of the show today as well. Noah and Nicole Stratton, they are out at Logos Theater in Taylor's and have a new big show, the final rehearsal for which is today. And they always put on terrific productions at this theater, and this one, I think, has a tendency to top many of the ones that have been done in the past. So, Noah and Nicole, welcome to you. Good to have you here.
Thank you so much. We appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Thanks, Bobby.
It's great. It's a pleasure to have you here. The show you're going to be doing is seasonal in nature and couldn't be more timely.
That's right. Yeah,
especially today, as you're saying, with the cold weather, we're getting ready for A Christmas Carol, the timeless classic story, but really neat. We had to put brand new music written by Nicole's dad and her sister. So it's been really amazing to be able to put all this together.
That is quite a task when you consider as you mentioned earlier when we were talking, Nicole, the poetic language that Dickens uses.
Mm-hmm.
How long did it take you to put the book together for this play?
Well, the putting it into a script form took about 2 weeks, but the whole production, as far as mounting it, writing it, getting all the music written, has been a little bit over a year to be able to do it, design all the sets, all the costumes and everything. So my dad, Dr. Nikki Chavers, is an incredible musician. And then my sister, Christy Chavers-Stutzman, who's actually in politics. She just was elected as a state representative in Indiana.
Wow.
But she's also a musician as well. So following in dad's footsteps, they've done an incredible job with the music. And then we had an orchestrator, John Coates from Nashville. He's done the orchestrations along with Christy. And my dad have also orchestrated stuff too. So this has been an incredible project, but we're coming along to the final stretch. And right after Thanksgiving, we open, and it is going to be incredible.
Wow.
I'm excited.
This is a neat project. For people who are not familiar with the theater, may not know of the hidden gem in Taylor's.
Yeah.
Tell folks a little bit about how the theater started and what you guys have done along the way to push it forward, because it really is quite an accomplishment.
Oh,
sure.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. It was started by Nicole's dad. He really saw a vision. It was the old Taylor's Elementary School building. He saw that it was really worn down at the time, but had great bones, great structure. And he had a vision for it, that it could be a place that could be doing incredible productions, incredible things for the community, for the Taylor's area, but for the whole upstate. And it's grown now to reaching out to the upstate, people all across the country. We had some people across the world come to see things, which is really, really exciting. So seeing where it came from there back in the early, the late 80s when he bought it,
mm-hmm.
Finally getting it up to speed. It took quite a while, but we got up to speed, up to par, all the codes, you know, all those good things.
Right.
But now with it up and running, just for about the last 3 or 4 years, we've been focusing in a number of other areas. In the last 3 or 4 years, really being able to really hone in on the Logos Theater and the productions and musicals. It's really been growing very, very quickly, and we're excited about that.
Yeah,
I think one of the things that brought it out really to the public was our Narnia series.
Yes.
That's,
Yeah. Right. And more to come on that down the road.
Yes.
Which is really funny because we did not think we'd be doing the Narnia series. That's actually one set of books I said I would never direct.
Yeah.
Because you don't have CGI on the stage.
Yeah,
so how in the
right.
world are you supposed to do Narnia?
Yeah. But, well, never say never.
That's right. I've learned that now.
Right.
When you put the book together, when you put all the music together, everybody, of course, I think most people are familiar with the story of Dickens, mm-hmm. A Christmas Carol. But to do it in a musical style is quite a challenge.
I think it is a challenge. You know, what I found was interesting, at first I was a little stumped on how to do it because the book is so beautiful and
yes.
cohesive.
Right.
I almost felt like maybe the music might interrupt the flow of the story.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I actually pretended like Dickens himself was going to come see it, and that's when it started to flow for
me. That's a neat idea.
Because I just said, you know what, I'm just going to be true to what he wanted in the book and not try to force my ideas or where I think a song would be, but read the story with his ideas in mind and let the story tell me where the song should be. So I think that's been a fun way to do it.
And this is going to be a pretty big production. How many in the cast in total?
About 70, 75 total
wow.
in the cast, yes. So, and it's all ages. It starts from the young children all the way up to adults. So we got span the whole age range.
Where do you all find the actors for all these roles?
Well, it's a mix of community. A lot of community people come together. They come out to the tryouts. We have open auditions all the time for the
mm-hmm.
theater.
Right.
And then we also have a conservatory that's attached to the theater. And where college kids come and get they can get an associate's degree, BA, master's. So a lot of them are also involved, and that's part of their education is to
right.
be involved in a working theater.
Yeah, that's a great experience. In putting this together, all the staging and everything, you mentioned CGI. you do some interesting things with the Christmas Carol story.
Oh,
with,
my goodness.
With Scrooge's story.
You know, that was one of the challenges is the ghosts and all the special effects. People,
mm-hmm.
whenever you deal with iconic books that mm-hmm. people have grown up reading and loving, you really need to be very true to what the book
yeah,
is
Yeah, people
saying.
Kind of have a picture in their mind already.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. So the pressure is definitely there. But the crew that we have, the staff of the Logos Theater is literally second to none. It is incredible. The puppetry that we're able to do for the Narnia series mm-hmm. is Broadway level. We've been, our dragon actually is the mascot for the Scottish Games. I don't know if you know
that.
Oh,
really?
Or the dragon that we made, the lion won the Christmas parade in Greenville.
Right.
Or Aslan. But for Christmas Carol, we've got to make these ghosts appear and disappear. We've got to make a lot of special effects happen. So,
right, chains rattling and
oh,
all
man.
Those things.
When Marley comes in and
right.
how we've been trying to disappear Marley. And it's been so fun. But Joe Hainsworth, who's our technical director, he is an absolute genius. It's one thing for me to come up with ideas, but
right.
that man
but
makes
to actually
it happen.
Implement
execute it.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, it's something else again.
So like the Ghost of Christmas Past, she's actually appearing from inside a clock and the clock breaks apart in many different ways and she comes out of the clock.
Oh, very cool.
But to have to do that on stage is
yeah,
know,
right.
It's one thing for me to say it. It's another thing for Joe to build it.
right.
So it's been fun to watch it come together though.
And you guys have been rehearsing for this for how long now?
It's been a little over a month.
Yeah.
So we started in October.
Gotcha. So once you guys are, what, you did your last rehearsal today.
Oh, last week.
Oh,
week.
Last,
one more
I beg
week.
Pardon, last yeah. week of rehearsal mm-hmm. this week.
Right.
And then take a break, and then right after Thanksgiving, you guys are off and running.
We're off and running.
That's right. November 24th is that Saturday, right after Thanksgiving. So we
right.
start up that Saturday and then run all the way through right up to Christmas, December 22nd. So it's about almost a month of performances.
And how many days of shows will there be and what times are they?
We have 13 performances. They're primarily Friday, Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
Normally it's 7 o'clock and then some 2 o'clocks. On
some
Saturday
matinees.
As well. Yes,
right.
some matinees also. And then we do a few on Thursdays for school groups, like a morning matinee for them also.
Oh, that's neat.
On a couple 11:30 performances for them.
Great.
So 13 total. We're very excited about it.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a tremendous show, and I know that all of the shows that you all have done at the theater have been really terrific, and we're looking forward, looking ahead to Easter. You referenced Narnia,
yes.
and we'll be going down another pathway there in the spring as well, right?
That's right. We have Douglas Gresham coming over again. We had
right.
the privilege to have him over a couple years ago, and he's coming back.
Nice.
Stepson of C.S. Lewis, so we're
right.
excited to have him be coming back for
yeah.
that.
Which is interesting, because I don't think a lot of people realize that in Little Tailors, we're doing the world premiere of the professional version of Horse and His Boy.
Yeah, that's
There's
right.
only been one other place in the world that's done a professional version of Horse and His Boy, and that was in
Manila.
Manila,
Philippines. Yeah.
Wow.
In the Philippines. So we will be the first people to do it on a professional level in the United States.
Yeah, that's quite an accomplishment.
Little tiny Taylors.
Yep.
For people who want to learn more about the theater and about your production of A Christmas Carol, I know that you all have a website where people can go to get more information and get tickets and the like.
Yes, sir. So that's the logostheater.com. They can go there and get tickets. We'll also call into the box office. It's 268-9342. So they can either way call in or go online to get tickets for that. And we know it'll be a great way to kick off the holiday season and the Christmas season and get started for that.
Yeah, it really is in keeping with the season. And I think it's going to be a tremendous production and highly recommended. If you haven't seen the productions that these people have put on, they're in Little Tiny Taylors, then you owe it to yourself to go and see it, especially for A Christmas Carol. Noah and Nicole Stratton, thanks very much for your time.
Sir, thank you.
Great to have you here. Best of luck with the show.
Appreciate it.
And we'll be talking with you again, I guess, as we work towards the springtime and the next production at the theater as well.
Looking forward to it. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us.
We are too. Thanks for being here. Appreciate your taking time to be here and dragging out in the nasty, rainy, cold weather today.
Glad to do it.
Shows your dedication. 17 after 3 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Take a quick break here. When we come right back on the other side, we talk about Veterans Day. And by the way, being our special Veterans Day show, if you have a veteran that you would like to salute today to thank them publicly for their service, feel free to do that. 800-347-1063. Be right back here on the Bobby Mack Show on Monday. Thank you, Madea. Welcome back. 3:23 here on the Bobby Mack Show. The wet and rainy and cloudy and gray Monday edition. We'll do what we can to brighten it up. Let me first of all see if I can catch up with the text line here. And as I mentioned, going to the break, if you have a veteran who has served our nation in whatever capacity in the military, since this is the official Veterans Day holiday today, feel free to let me know about them. Either give me a call, 800-347-1063, or you can text me their information as well, if you would prefer. Bobby, two questions. Number one, California fires, terrorism. Number two, deputy killed in Paradise, was he wearing a vest? Don't know the answer to number two. Don't really know the answer to question number one, but I can tell you that ISIS on their Anglo websites, the ones that they use to inspire domestic terrorism around the world, not only in America, but Europe as well. For the American audience, they have in the past posited setting wildfires as a form of terrorism. So I don't think we can totally discount it. I know one thing, what's the guy's name? Neil Young, the rocker, he is out on Twitter today blaming President Trump and climate change. Climate change gets tagged with every kind of natural disaster event that comes along. They never miss an opportunity. Bobby, I've heard that BMW might move a plant to China because of tariffs. I say go ahead and share all their secrets with the Chi-Coms. Haven't heard anything about moving a plant to China. I know there have been discussions about their cutting their production facility here in Greer. Bob, Specialist 588 Mike, U.S. Army, 1984-1992, Desert Storm. Thank you. Appreciate it. Bobby, good afternoon. It's amazing how the Democratic Party has immunity to any and all of the illegal activity they seem to come up with. But it's another beautiful day in Greer. Thank you, sir. I'm assuming this one comes with a heavy dose of sarcasm. Let me take a wild guess, Bob. You just happened to stumble upon an NFL game yesterday on TV, and wouldn't you know it, you happened to find something that offended your ultra-nationalist patriotism. Now I'm an ultra-nationalist, Moneypenny. It wasn't enough that I was alt-right. Now I'm ultra-nationalist. Thank you. I take that as a compliment. Wow, who would have thought that possible? But look on the bright side. You now have fresh show material to help whip up your base. Signed, USAF retired. Thank you. USAF retired. Appreciate that. Our base needs little whipping up. Pelosi and Schumer and the rest of them provide plenty. Bobby, I want to salute my father, Staff Sergeant James Simpson, for his service in Vietnam. He was a medic and served his country proudly. He's such an inspiration to have around. The medics are real, the true unsung heroes, especially in time of war, because save so many lives at the risk of their own. Bobby, I sent you an email on true American nationalism. I hope it made it. Thanks from Richard. Thank you, Richard. I do see it in my inbox, and we'll work our way around to that. Sad news today for fans of all the Marvel characters. Stan Lee, the man responsible for much of the Marvel universe, has passed away. His daughter told TMZ an ambulance rushed to Stan Lee's Hollywood Hills home early this morning, California time, and he was rushed to Cedars-Sinai. That's the big medical center out there. We told he passed away at the hospital. Lee had suffered several illnesses over the last year or so, had a bout with pneumonia, and had some vision issues. Stan Lee started Marvel with Jack Kirby in 1961 with the Fantastic Four, and went on to create Spider-Man, Black Panther, The Incredible Hulk, X-Men, Iron Man, The Avengers, and the list goes on and on and on. So, well, this is appropriate news for the weather outside today from the Washington Examiner, and this has been all over the web. I don't know if you've seen it. Apparently, we have not seen the last of Felonious Von Pantsuit, another one that's harder to kill than Dracula. Story in the Washington Examiner. Hillary Clinton will run for the Democrat presidential nomination in 2020, according to a former advisor and a top Democrat in New York. You know, this could turn out to be a huge embarrassment because given what happened last time around, virtually everybody in the midterm election campaign this time around wanted to be at a minimum at arm's length from anything associated with the Clintons, Slick Willie or Felonious Von Pantsuit. And remember that she got the nomination in 16 primarily by wrapping up all the superdelegates, preventing Bernie Sanders from making a run, even though he tried, you know, with Hillary having all the superdelegates, it was pretty much a foregone conclusion. Hillary was going to be the nominee. That's not going to be the case this time around. All these superdelegates are not going to be anxious to jump on board with Hillary. Everybody needs to know when their time is up. You know, whether you're a professional athlete and you've extended your career too far, or you're one of the Clintons and you still think that you've got that magic, eventually reality will send you a different message. 3:30 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Annie's ready to go in the news center today, and I'm right back on the other side. Here's we roll on Monday with our Veterans Day show on 106.3 WORD. Today, the official Veterans Day holiday, so if you have a veteran you'd like to salute, you can feel free to call me and use the Ingalls Advantage talk line, 800-347-1063, or if you prefer, send me a text. As I mentioned on the other side of Annie's newscast, Mark Penn, who is a pollster and senior advisor to former President Bill Clinton and to Hillary when she was Secretary of State, and Andrew Stein, a former Manhattan Democrat Party figure and New York City Council president, wrote yesterday in a Wall Street Journal opinion piece that the 2016 Democrat presidential nominee would not let, quote, two stunning defeats stand in the way of her claim to the White House. What claim to the White House does she have? Quote, Mrs. Clinton has come unbound. She will not allow this humiliating loss at the hands of an amateur to end the story of her career, Pennenstein wrote of President Trump, explaining how Clinton would repackage herself as a more liberal Hillary Clinton 4.0. You can expect her to run for president once again, maybe not at first when the legions of Senate Democrats make their announcements. That would be Spartacus and Kamala Harris from California et al. But definitely by the time the primaries are in full swing. Mrs. Clinton has a 75% approval rating among Democrats. How about among independents? Do they count? An unfinished mission to be the first female president and a personal grievance against Mr. Trump, whose supporters pilloried her with chance of lock her up. This must be avenged, the pair continued. So Hillary, is she delusional enough to think that with Biden and all these other people chomping at the bit to be the Democrat nominee to turn that evil Donald J. Trump out of the White House, there's going to be some groundswell of support for Hillary to come back and run again? In what universe does that happen? Inquiring minds want to know. In on the text line this afternoon, Bob, I'd like to thank my husband, Corporal Brian Howell, for his service in the USMC, Semper Fi. Gung ho. Bobby, your welder friend here, I hope Neil Young will remember. Southern man, don't need him around anyhow. channeling some other musicians there, I believe. Bob, my husband is a veteran of the U.S. Army. Technically, he's a reservist, but their status is veteran. PFC Owen Younger. We're planning to go active duty as soon as his reserve contract is up. I'm a proud Army wife. And that's someone else that should be remembered. That's another whole other category of people that should be remembered on Veterans Day. Those men and women, husbands and wives who support their military significant other. Bobby, Staff Sergeant Nick Lawson from Union, 8 years Marine, hoorah, from 98 to 2006, counterintelligence operator, 2 tours in Iraq, 1 in Afghanistan. Been to the sandbox, eh? Thank you, appreciate it. I wonder if he might know. He may know our friend Brandon, a retired case officer from Langley, worked over there. Bobby, I'd rather be an ultra-nationalist than an ultra-man. Laugh out loud, Jim and Easley. Hey, Jim. Bob, props to my daddy, Tech Sergeant Air Force retired, Hogan Justice, and my wife, Donna, Corporal, U.S. Army. Thank you, sir. Bob would like to honor my dad, Charlie, served in the Marines on the USS Saratoga. Also, my 2 nephews, one in the Marines, the other in the Air Force. Extremely proud of all 3, as you should be. Bob, let's not forget our Greenville veteran, Major Rudolph Anderson. Only American casualty of the October 1962 Cuban Missile Crisis. Clemson grad, ought to be acknowledged every year. I believe the Soviets retreated in part because Major Anderson's plane was shot down. Yeah, his U-2 was shot down, getting those vital air recon photos of Cuba. Bobby, congrats to Annie's play, winning many honors. Yes, indeed, and Annie is up for Best Actress also. Bobby, thank you for the reminder about how Hillary used the superdelegates, Bobby Mack. Speaking of democracy, how does superdelegates and counting all the votes square with each other? Yeah. Well, as Uncle Joe Stalin pointed out, and as they're proving down in Broward and Dade County in Florida, you remember Uncle Joe Stalin who said it's not who does the voting, it's who counts the votes? Mm-hmm. To the phones we go. Gunny James is along this afternoon as our leadoff batter. Hi, Gunny, and welcome to the show. Hoorah.
Hoorah, Bobby McLean. I would like to thank the station for acknowledging all of our veterans and all my brothers that didn't make it back, the ones that did. And thank you, sir. Have a good day, sir.
You too, Gunny. You goes without saying you heard the emotion in Gunny's voice. There are many of us who think daily of absent friends. Let's go to Inman next. Ray is next up here on the Bobby Mac Show. Hi, Ray, and welcome to the program. Good to have you here, sir.
Hey, Bobby. Yeah, it's kind of hard to say something because you do get choked up.
You do.
I had two brothers in the Vietnam era. Wayne Collins, Ron Collins, and a nephew, Mark Collins, in Afghanistan.
Mm.
And I salute all the vets.
You and me both, Ray. You know, we set aside one day for the veterans, and then, of course, Memorial Day to remember our absent friends and the memories we have of them. But for many in this community, Veterans Day is every day.
Yeah, it is, Bobby. And I appreciate you talking to me, and I salute all the vets, and God bless everybody.
Amen. Thanks, Ray. God bless you too, sir. Appreciate you being here today. Quarter before four here on the Bobby Mac Show. Quick break here, and then we'll start to delve into what's going on down there in Florida. Although you can see it as well as I can. It's pretty obvious. They're trying to make Stalin's old saying come true about not mattering who actually does the voting. It's who's counting them that matters. Be right back. Welcome back. Great to have you along on a nasty weather day. We're supposed to have a couple of more days of this too, Moneypenny? Yeah, it is what it is. 3:50, 10 before 4 here on the Bobby Mac Show on this Monday, Veterans Day. In on my text line, 71307, Bob, both my grandfathers, Don Clark, John Pearson, my uncle Bob Clark, and older brother Todd Clark, all USN. Thank you. All Navy. Bobby, thanks to Annie for struggling along while she gives the news. Everyone trusts she'll be feeling much better soon. I feel okay, but my voice is shot. I don't know what is up with that today. Bobby, my father, J.T. Jolly, J-O-L-L-E-Y, Shore Patrol in the Philippines in World War II. Thanks. Wow. You think he ran into an overserved Marine or two along the way? Oh, boy. Bobby, tell Gunny and all those calling in, thanks for their sacrifice for our great republic. God bless them. Bobby, on this special day, please remember Colonel Ted Ballard spent 6 years of torture in the Hanoi Hilton in Vietnam. Please remember him. He is a true, true hero. Bobby, I wonder if Greenville's Major Rudolph Anderson is included in South Carolina school textbooks. I'm not kidding. Is he even mentioned? Inclusion of his military dedication during the Cuban Missile Crisis ought to be presented to students. Certainly shows that one person can change the course of history. Bob, my father, Arthur Z. Johnson, World War II in Korea, passed away in 1969. Cirrhosis, served through alcoholism. Very, very sad. Even today. Cirrhosis of the liver back then. Back then, post-traumatic stress disorder was resolved with alcohol. Very sad, even today. Bobby, I believe when it comes to Hillary and her losses, she actually has lost to two amateurs. Are you calling Barack Hussein Obama an amateur? Bobby, my brother Lee McJunkin served in Vietnam. My brother-in-law, John Morgan, also served Southeast Asia, now suffering the effects of Agent Orange, thanks to all veterans. Donna in Pumpkintown. I have lost Marine friends from Agent Orange. They were the ones most in that area of operations where that was used. Bobby, go ahead and write it down. Michelle Obama will be the first female president of the United States. Did you see what she said in that in the book she has coming out about when she first met Barack? But she wasn't really interested in him because she was suspicious of a black man that white people were all fawning over. Bobby, I'm willing to bet once Joe Biden finds a severed horse's head in his bed, he'll mysteriously suddenly be backing Hillary. Laugh out loud. Yeah. Khartoum. Ah. Bobby, if this is Obama's economy, as he keeps claiming, wouldn't this also be his climate change? He was president 8 years. Looks like he made the climate worse. No, see, he wanted to get us involved in the Paris Accords. See, so that's his get-out-of-jail-free card on that one. Bobby, Ronald Rigsby, USMC, 1976-1980. Bill Rigsby, Air Force, during the Korean War, deceased. Jim Rigsby, USMC, Vietnam, deceased. Michael Rigsby, U.S. Navy, and currently in the South Carolina Army National Guard. Thank you, sir. Bobby, thank you for pronouncing veteran correctly. Bobby, you can't be an ultra-nationalist, as you were accused of by a previous texter, unless you wear the MAGA red armband and wear knee-high black boots with bloused pants and a red beret. Does this apply to you? I think not. I don't think I have that outfit, do I, Moneypenny? Mm-hmm. Haven't dragged that one out of the closet. And I believe that catches me up with the older text messages. So let me see what has just popped in here. Bob, my granddad was in France 100 years ago with D Company, 113th Engineers, building barracks for the advancing Allied forces and hospitals for the returning wounded. Private Albert Winterroud, U.S. Army. My dad, Navy, was USMC. My brother, Air Force, Semper Fidelis. Thank you. Appreciate that. Bob, on this day, I'd like to recognize my father, Lieutenant Colonel Charles Lee, Citadel, class of 1938, B-17 pilot in World War II, once co-piloted with Paul Tibbets. Flew the first daytime bombing mission over Europe, flew 17 missions, was shot down, held as POW for 16 months. His wounds were treated by the only American female POW in the European theater. All of this done by the age of 28 years old. You know, I had thought for the longest time, and maybe I had just assumed this because my dad was, and his brother, Uncle Mac, were Marines in the South Pacific in the second. I had thought that was where the most American casualties were until I did a little research. Not really even close. 8th Air Force flew all those bombing missions over Europe and eventually over Germany. Those B-17 guys. 8th Air Force, the highest level of fatalities in World War II. And having flown now in B-17s twice, my admiration only increases for those young men who braved all that flak and ack-ack and everything else. True courage. Hour number one has slipped on past. Hour two is on the way of the Bobby Mack Show, and I'll dig into this business in Florida with the election counting when we come right back.